Father Peter Mitchell is the pastor of Assumption Catholic Church in Dwight, Nebraska, and an instructor at St. Gregory the Great Seminary. He happened to be in Rome at the time of Pope John Paul II's passing and funeral, and he has recorded his impressions of that historic time in his new book published by Servant Books, titled John Paul II, We Love You, Young People Encounter the Pope. Father Mitchell is on the phone with us this morning from Dwight, Nebraska. Good morning, Father. Welcome to Catholic Forum.
Good morning, Bob. Great to be here.
Tell us, we're going to be talking about your experiences in Rome during that fateful April of 2005. But before we do that, tell us, what is it about Pope John Paul the Great that impressed you the most? And what impact has he had in your life?
Well, I always begin my vocation story by saying that John Paul II is the reason that I became a priest. I'm part of the John Paul II generation. I was 19 years old when he came to Denver in 1993 for World Youth Day. And basically, I was a typical Catholic kid. I'd grown up Catholic. I went to Mass on Sunday. But going out to Denver for that 4 days with the Pope at World Youth Day, encountering him and being in his presence, and also the experience of what he did at World Youth Day, gathering all the young people of the church and the world together, just had such a powerful impact on me. I think I could sum it up best by saying that he made Christ come alive for me. By encountering him, I saw the Lord Jesus with his love, with his passion, with his zeal for life. And because he believed in us as young people, he challenged us to be the apostles of our generation, to be witnesses to Christ and to the Christian faith. And so in many ways, that World Youth Day in Denver was what led me into the seminary. I've been a priest now for 8 years, and I was very privileged to be at many of the other World Youth Days with Pope John Paul II, leading other young people there. And it's his witness to Christ that inspired me to want to do the same, to be a witness in my own life, and in my case, that included the calling to the priesthood.
Now, do you find that many young priests of your generation have similar stories?
Well, yeah, it's amazing how many priests. I'm 33 now, so priests who've been ordained, say, maybe 5 to 10 years, will say that they were at World Youth Day in Denver 14 years ago, and that really was a moment of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church in the United States. And in so many ways, we try to imitate his style of priesthood. In other words, he was very actively involved with young people. He was always very courageous and optimistic in preaching the gospel. His message, do not be afraid, there was this hopefulness and joyfulness. His willingness to go out and encounter people where they are, that the church can't just sort of stay inside the church today. We have to go out into the highways and byways and find people and encounter them and show them the love of Christ visibly by our lives and actions, draw them to the Lord. And also with a real confidence that young people want to hear the truth, and that it's no service to anyone to water down the gospel by calling young people to the sacrifice of Christianity, of living the life of virtue, that is something that they not only want to hear, but they want to respond to it, and that the fruitfulness of the church in our time is being found in places where the full gospel, the truth of the gospel, is being announced with courage.
Now, it's everyone knows that Pope John Paul II had a special gift that drew young people to him, and your book has many testimonies from young people. Can you share some of them with us?
Well, that's right. What I did, I got the idea for the book from Servant Publications, and we solicited first-hand personal testimonies by young people who had met the Pope. And so I have about 30 small essays in my book, about a page or two each, from young people who encountered the Pope in all walks of life. I have articles from priests, from seminarians, from religious sisters, but also from married couples and from young single college and high school students. And so each of them in some way met the Pope, either at a World Youth Day or went to Rome or saw him, and it just talks about what it was like to be in his presence, some of the first-hand details of that, and then how it's affected their life in the time since. So it's very inspiring. Several people who really had totally fallen away from the practice of their faith but heard the Pope was coming to whatever city it was and went to see him and really had a total conversion. Others who had sort of been fighting the possibility of a vocation in their heart and seeing the Holy Father and hearing his words or going on a pilgrimage to Rome led them to enter the seminary or the convent. And they're very moving because what they all have in common is they say that when I met the Holy Father, I encountered the love of Jesus, and that love gave me the courage to give my life to Christ.
Mm. Now, Father, you were in Rome in April of 2005. Tell us about that. Why were you there? And how did you hear of the Holy Father's passing?
Okay, well, I was a student in Rome for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I studied church history at the Gregorian University, and I have a license in church history. And I always kind of joke that the last month I was there, which was April 2005, I learned more church history in that month because I saw it all happening right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I think, Friday, April 1st. He died on April 2nd was when everyone really became aware that he had been sick for many weeks. It had been in the news, and everyone had been speculating about how he was doing, that he was entering his final hours. And basically, beginning that night, thousands and thousands of people began gathering in St. Peter's Square. And then after he passed away, the viewing of his body in St. Peter's Basilica attracted millions of people from all over Europe. And then his funeral was probably the biggest televised event in human history. It was watched by billions all over the world. There were 5 million people in Rome for the event. And what I started doing was every night I started writing email accounts to my friends back home in the States of what was going on, because everybody was asking me, what's it like over there? What's going on? Can you tell us what's happening? And they kind of took on a life of their own. People began forwarding them to other friends, and it was such an amazing set of days, historical and dramatic and so momentous, that people began passing this information on. And these emails came to be passed really all over the world. And when I finally got done with that week of writing, I realized that I had quite an extraordinary, remarkable account of what had happened during those days. And that those email reports or journal accounts basically are the backbone of the book. I've edited them a small amount, but basically they are, as I wrote them, they're dated each day as if I was writing them the day that these things happened.
Mm. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and my guest this morning is Father Peter Mitchell from Dwight, Nebraska, whose new book is entitled John Paul II, We Love You, Young People Encounter the Pope. It's available from Servant Books. And Father is telling us about his experience in April of 2005 when he was in Rome for the passing and the funeral of Pope John Paul II. What impressed you the most about his funeral? Did you have a good seat? And what are some of the images that will remain with you throughout your life?
Well, one of the most dramatic chapters in my book is called The Procession. I was so privileged as a priest in Rome. We were asked to be in the procession carrying his body from the Vatican apartments where the Holy Father lived into St. Peter's Basilica. And so we came down through the Apostolic Palace into St. Peter's Square, and then into the Basilica. And there must have been several thousand priests and then all of the bishops and cardinals who were there for the occasion. And just describing what that was like as the Litany of the Saints was chanted in Latin, and as the thousands and thousands of people were gathering in the square to pray and to wish the Holy Father well in his last journey, I still get goosebumps when I think about those moments, because they were so extraordinary and historic, and the power and beauty and majesty of the Catholic Church really came forth in those days. I remember, you know, it was all on CNN and on the news and on TV, and everyone was so proud to be Catholic, because there's something about the tradition and history of the Catholic Church that's unparalleled, really, in any other institution on earth. And then I was also at his funeral. I was actually watching from a balcony on the edge of the square and had a bird's-eye view of all the events, and I described that. I was also in the square when Pope Benedict got elected, when the white smoke came out of the chimney, so I have a chapter on that and the excitement of his election. And there's such a beauty to being Catholic, because the ceremonies and the traditions of our faith put us in touch with the ages. And we really, I know I received a sense myself experiencing these days of just how amazing a gift the Catholic Church is, that we are the same church founded on St. Peter the Apostle. One of the things that I talk about is the obelisk that stands in the middle of St. Peter's Square, which is what St. Peter himself saw when he was crucified in the year 67 AD by the Emperor Nero, still standing for the funeral of Pope John Paul II, and that tangible connection with St. Peter and through St. Peter to Christ is what makes the Catholic Church such an amazing gift.
Mm. What do you want the readers of your book to get out of your book? Is there a basic message that you're trying to convey?
Yeah, I would say it's that John Paul II was an extraordinary man who was a disciple of Christ, who loved young people, and this shows it through their eyes, that they would encounter the love by seeing how he touched each one of their lives, that people who read it will be encouraged, will be inspired, and it will make them want to be a better Christian. And that's really what I think John Paul would desire. The purpose of his travels, of his speaking, of his reaching out to everyone, was so that people would encounter the Lord Jesus and come to follow him and love him more. Mm-hmm. And that's, in an amazing way, he did this even when he died, because the extraordinary outpouring of emotion and love and grief at his funeral and during those days surrounding it was a sign of how much he had impacted the world. And so that comes out, I think, very strongly in the accounts that I wrote.
I think he certainly was an attractive figure for young people, but I think in the last years of his life, he certainly set an example for those who are aged and infirmed and dying. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. His carrying of the cross as he became more and more physically weakened, and that those 3 years that I was in Rome were his last 3 years. He was often being wheeled in, unable to walk. His hand was shaking. He was often drooling because he lost control of his mouth. Sometimes he couldn't even speak towards the end. On Easter Sunday, his last day, and I give an account of his blessing, he couldn't speak. He only could wake his hand with the sign of the cross. That he still believed that he had a message to give because he was doing God's will. And that if that meant that he would suffer and be incapacitated, he accepted that with courage and with love as an example. And that, it's that very determined choice to follow the Lord at all costs. Is what he believed his whole life was, that first becoming a priest, then becoming bishop, then becoming pope, and that he always exhorted us as young people that it's worth the price. Following Christ, remember at one of the World Youth Days, he said to us, "I will not lie to you, it's difficult to follow Christ today, but with God's grace it can be done, and it is very rewarding." And that, for me, those words really hit my heart as I was discerning the priesthood, that the sacrifice of following the Lord is always so beautifully repaid by him with many graces.
Father, do you think that someday Pope John Paul the Great will be canonized a saint in our church?
Oh, I think it's just a matter of time, and hopefully a short time. I know there's already been talk of this nun who was cured of Parkinson's disease in France and the possibility of his beatification and canonization. Pope Benedict certainly is doing all he can to make that happen. And I think when that happens, that'll be another huge event. I know many of us who knew and loved him as young people in his life will make every effort to be there and to vent. And I always pray to him even now. I just say, "Pope John Paul the Great, pray for us." And I have a youth group in my parish. We always ask his prayers for us. I think there's already a real sense among the faithful that he's one of God's holy ones in heaven praying for us.
Mm. Father Peter Mitchell's book, John Paul II, We Love You, Young People Encounter the Pope, is available at your local Catholic bookstore. You can order online at AmericanCatholic.org or Amazon.com, or by calling Servant Books at 800-488-0488. Father Peter Mitchell, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Forum.
Thank you, Bob. God bless you.